Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hi, this is the Let's Get Running podcast. I'm your host, Sean Dixon, and this week we've got something a little bit different for you on the Let's Get Running podcast. This Saturday, May the 21st, I put Parliament Hill Track, the home of Highgate Harriers, incidentally my club, will be staged the British 10,000 metre championships, or the night of the 10,000 metre PBs. It's a really exciting event. This year, amazingly, it's going to be the trials for the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. If you haven't been up to see the event, I really recommend you give it a go. There's an incredible atmosphere. All the spectators are lining up in lane three, so the athletes run along on the first three lanes. There's a wall of noise with people shouting. There's beer, there's music, there's baristas, there's food. It really is a great night. And in general, it's a really good night to see top British athletics. I really recommend you go and have a look. And for the show this week, we are going to kind of look at the race from three perspectives. So I'm going to be talking to the volunteer coordinator, Rob Wilson, who's also a member of Highgate Harriers. I'm going to be asking him about preparations for the race, but also getting a bit of information about the participants and his predictions for the contests. I'm talking to the self-proclaimed slowest man in the field. He's a guy called Axel Manzano, and he has made really massive strides in terms of his performance over the last 12 months, and it's good to get an insight into how that's happened and what he's been doing. And I'm also going to talk to Beth Potter. Beth recently ran the qualifying time for Rio in the 10,000 metres in Stamford. So she is one of the front runners for the race on Saturday. And I asked her about her training and her racing background in the lead up to the race. So it should make for a really interesting episode. Some interesting perspectives on the race and how it's going to unfold. And hopefully interesting for you guys. Hope you enjoy. So you're involved in the organisation of the event, Rob. What's your role on the night?
First and foremost, my role is something of agitator or mobiliser for our trackside marshal campaign. What really makes the night of the 10Ks what it is partly just how close spectators and supporters can get to the athletes right up in lane three. They're really free to roam, and it's something of, you know, a bit like the outdoors at the Tour de France, where you've got crowds going wild and really getting behind the athletes, you know, almost right in their faces. What that means for us is that we've got to be really vigilant and make sure that no one oversteps that mark, no one stands in the way of Andy Vernon as he's surging away to win, or a dog goes tearing off Hampstead Heath and straight into the lead pack of ladies. So we really need almost like a human shield right the way around the track, protecting the athletes from the crowd, but also getting behind the athletes. And this year we've had an unbelievable response from volunteers. We've actually got just over 100 confirmed volunteers, and that's wow. Phenomenal turnout, and that's coming from our own club, you know, probably over 50 coming from Highgate Harriers, from junior ranks to parents of some of the kids. We've got rival clubs getting involved, like Serpentine have sent some volunteers, and then Camden Council, Runners Need in Camden, they've been able to send a few as well. So it's just been a real great response. But I also say that the volunteers aren't just those trackside marshals. So the whole event is built on those volunteers. So right the way through to the guys that are staffing the bars, the pacemakers, entertainers, people coordinating the vehicles, the electricity, setting up the AV for the screen. I mean, it really is a community-led event, and that's the club community, UK distance running community, and the local North London community itself.
You were there last year doing a similar job. Like, how are you guys, because it's such a good event last year, is there any way to top that? Are you going to do anything different this year to last?
Yeah, I mean, those that were there last year might think, how's it possible to top last year? We had great conditions, great weather, top racing, and the atmosphere was electric. But I think, you know, ever since that last finisher in the men's A race crossed the line back in 2015, Ben Poche, the director and whose brainchild the whole event is, has just been thinking of every way possible to make it bigger, better, wackier, increase the standard of racing and get even more more spectators down there. First things first, and part of the campaign to make it more than just 10,000 meter races and make the day more a festival of our sport is the Highgate Legend Seminar, another thing I'm involved in earlier in the day, where we're going to have four 10,000 meter and marathon legends live on site for a free to attend seminar and Q&A session. So we've got Charlie Spedding, Eamon Martin, Paul Evans and Nick Rose. And that's going to be chaired by Nick Anderson, who will be facilitating a bit of Q&A and panel discussion. So that starts at 1 p.m. So that kicks the day off. And then leading sort of further into the races themselves, obviously we've got the Rio trials this year. So to be able to shout about that and to shout about the potential that we're going to be seeing athletes doing something on Parliament Hill track that then catapults them to the Olympics is, you know, really, really special. We've got the likes of Lynette Masai, ex 10,000 meter world champion in the ladies race. And I think just a higher standard of running throughout the races. And, you know, and then on the fun side of things, we've got two bars this year. We've got a home straight bar, a back straight bar. We've got samba drummers, carnival dancers, DJs, booze, barbecue. I mean, it's like the Rio Carnival on a North London distance run in Dauphin High, I think.
And looking at the field this year, is there anything particularly that you're looking forward to watch?
Yeah, I mean, I think I quite like the idea of some of the races before the big championship races. I think for the likes of me and for a lot of my contemporaries, people that you know, toe the line with regularly or who you maybe aspire to be. And you look at race number four, so the one that starts at 7:30. You look at that and you've got the likes of Aaron Scott, who's just run really well at London. You've got the likes of Nick Torrey, obviously run the Commonwealth Games. We've got our own Danny Russell, who I know is preparing for the World Elite Duathlon Championships. So just some really top level club guys and, you know, top vets like Ian Hudspeth in that race. So I think obviously that, and then the ladies race as well this year. Ben Poche there has taken a really bold decision to put that as sort of the top of the bill and just have so many ladies in that race. British ladies who are genuinely chasing Rio hopes. And then alongside that, quite a lot of foreign interest in that race to really mix it up and hopefully make it a good, honest and quick pace race.
I mean, you're looking down the list there and you have Lynette Masai, 2009, she was world champion. You've got Pavey, who's, is it four or five times Olympian? Pavey, I can't quite remember.
Is it four-time Olympian and going for the fifth? Sky TV are going to be on site, apparently, filming Joe Pavey, the Olympic documentary, apparently.
And Kate Avery in there and Beth Potter, both qualified already with races in America. Looking down, Sophie Duarte, former European cross-country champion. Now you've got El Vernon, is a national cross-country medalist.
Jess Coulson was at 32:40 last year. I think Lily Partridge as well. And then, yeah, Katrina Wood. And just as well, yeah, it's got an international flavour. Not really aware of her, but Carmen Martinez, Paraguay. We've got some Spanish interest in the race. Hungary as well. Ireland. So it's, you know, it's a genuine international class field.
Masai looks to be the favourite. Is anyone you think might be a good bet to challenge Lynette for the race?
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this earlier and speaking to Ben Poche, and I said, well, yeah, Lynette Masai's obviously got some serious pedigree. I'm not quite so prominent in recent years, but you know, she ran 31:38 on the roads in Spain earlier. If she has got big aspirations, you'd have to think that she's the standout favourite. But I think I'd really like to see Kate Avery or Beth Potter, you know, have another go at trying to run as quick as maybe they've done in some of those Californian races, and to do it on Parley Hill. I think the benefit is they'll have that home crowd. On the Brits terms, I really see Avery, Potter, Partridge maybe as being right in amongst that race. But
we'll go to the men's race quickly now and have a look at the field there. A lot of excitement about Vernon coming back to the UK and racing over 10,000 metres. Was it 2 years ago he won in pretty incredible style?
I seem to remember it was a ghastly night in Parliament Hill. It's no stranger to a bit of wind and rain, but I think he ran away from, was it Tomo and Johnny Mellor perhaps, in 2014. Yeah. And it was such a panacheful display of front running. He just sort of thundered it out on the front. Yeah, everyone's looking forward to seeing Andy back. I don't think he's raced this year. He paced, was it, to 5K perhaps at Stanford. I love the fact that I think we've got three of the top four from the national cross country in that race as well. I think it's an interesting one, this field, because you look at it, you've got Tomo as well, top quality runner. There's so much talent. Yeah, I mean, Cod was sub 14, wasn't he? Hickey was just outside. You got Dowie Griffiths, who's fastest leg at Sutton Park and looked sublime. Then you've even got the likes of Andy Maud and Graham Rush in that race. Are those guys going to be chasing potentially European Cup? Is it sub 29? Chasing 28, 25, I think, for the European Championships. Rich tapestry, a lot of ways it could go. It's going to be fireworks from the off. Some are really going to, take a gamble. Others are going to maybe just see it as a good opportunity to run a good time and maybe lay off the pace a little bit. And super, super exciting race.
And there's an international flavour to this field as well. Do you know any of the other guys?
The only one I'm really familiar with, to be honest, is Silva, the Portuguese athlete. He's a bit of a face on the London scene and known to like some of the local classics. I think he's won the Lydiard Trophy and been involved in the South of England cross-country relays and such races like that in the past. Be interested to know maybe what some of the standards are for their own countries. What are they going to chase? What are they going to go off at? The fact that they're travelling across just shows you what the race has become.
So do you think there's kind of a lack of interest at the moment in athletics in the UK and in the top level of the sport? And how do you think events like this one can support a growing interest in athletics?
Yeah, I mean, I think you certainly hit the nail on the head there in terms of making sure we reinvigorate the competition level and high-level competition and celebrate elite-level distance running. The issue we have is track racing is not always super spectator friendly, especially 25 laps, and especially if you don't personally know the runners often. But I think one thing that's a real success story of the night of the 10Ks and is again, really down to Ben Poche's idea and vision a few years ago, is just to move with the times. We've got a great thing here in terms of our sport. It's a really fair, even, honest sport, which people can identify with. And if you look at sort of cyclocross racing in Belgium or some of crit racing or, you know, like the races in Europe where you have multi-laps in city centres, or if you're really imaginative around the races and you can just provide more than just the competition, you can give people a bit more for their time, a bit more for their money, although you can really bring distance running and competition back into the mainstream. I think we've been able to do that by finding a nice leveller between that fun, participatory, something for everyone element, but also focusing that we're all about good quality elite level running. You can transform 25 laps of distance running into, you know, a cauldron of excellence.
Well, I'm going to try and push you for some predictions. I'll give mine as well, and a finishing time. So we'll go for ladies race first. Who's your top three for the evening?
Going British champs or race in general?
I reckon we'll go race in general.
Oof, that's a curveball. All right, I'm going to go Lynette Masai to take the win,
yeah,
in 31:20. In second place, I am going to go with Kate Avery. And then in third place, I'm going to go with Beth Potter. I'm going to say the two British girls are going to hold off the foreign competition, who might not be so accustomed to a bit of drizzle on a cold, dark Parley Hill.
I think I'm actually going to go for Lynette to drop out. So I think I want to say Joe Pavey. But yeah, I'm going to sit my neck out. I'm going to go Joe Pavey to win in 32:03, closely followed by Beth Potter and Kate Avery in third. That's my three.
Interesting. I think I'd love to see Pavey do it, but I'm not sure is time running out. She'll certainly be a fan's favourite, especially after her run there in 2014. I hope you've not got any insider info on Lynette.
No, I don't know why I've said that. I feel bad already for marking her out as a dropout. We'll see. And for the men's race, who's your top three?
So in the men's race, I'm going to go Andy Vernon to take the win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Ross Millington second.
Yeah.
And Luke Caldwell third.
Okay. What time for Vernon at the front there?
I'm going to say he's going to run 28:10.
I'm actually going to go for Millington to win.
Right.
And I'm just going to go slightly slower than you in 28:15. I'm going to say Vernon's going to be pit by him, so Vernon in second. And third place, Johnny Hay, making up for his slightly bad run at the marathon and coming back to take a medal in third place. Good stuff. Lovely stuff. Kick off at 5 p.m, Parliament Hill Fields. And if people can't make it across to London, can they catch up with the action anywhere else?
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be live streamed on Vinco Sports. We're also going to have the BBC down filming, I think, the Road to Rio documentary and Sky, as I mentioned. But Vinco is definitely the channel of choice to see the event live. But if you don't live in London, there are trains, planes, automobiles.
Excellent. Nice one. Well, cheers, Rob. Maybe potentially pacing an early race too, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to be pacing, I think, the second race of the evening, the one at 6 p.m. Just doing enough to earn my trackside beers for late.
Nice work. Well, good luck for the pacing, and hope you have a great night on the night.
Nice one. And just a quick shout out for the night itself. Just everyone that's going to come down there. One thing that's really important for the athletes and help them run fast times is to really spread around the track as much as possible and spread around this, create a human shield, block the wind, not that there'll be any, get in athletes' faces and cheer them all on to some excellent times and some really great racing.
So, Axel, so you're taking part in race number one. What time does that kick off on Saturday?
It's at 5 p.m.
Cool. And it's your first 10k on the track?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Do you feel excited? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm really excited. Like it's an amazing event we have seen in the previous year. Like I saw you last year, smash your PB by 1.58 seconds, which was quite impressive. So hopefully I will do a bit better on my PB. And yeah, also celebrating my birthday on the day. So it'll be 25 years, 25 laps. It couldn't be better. And yeah, a lot of friends there, so it will be nice.
What's your PB at the moment?
So my PB at the moment is 36, 38. Which I have, yeah. I've done better during a half marathon, so hopefully we'll be way better than that.
Yeah, and how are you preparing now? Are you taking it easy this week in the lead up to the race?
So I've two previous weeks have been quite tough, so I've been take cut back, but I'm still running, doing some easy run, and also had a really tough session this morning in Victoria Park with some couple of friends. Six times 3 minutes, and a couple of 200 meter, just a bit of speed at the end.
Are you training regularly with these guys down in Victoria Park?
Yeah, so like it's every week we try to have a weekly session with a friend of my coach, or not friend, runner of my coach, Tom Quagg, they're a really good runner, all better than me, and he helped me to motivate me to run faster.
Are you hoping to be the fastest Frenchman in the race? Is there any other French runners in the race?
There is Sophie Duart, who will probably run way faster than me, but not in the same race. But I will probably be the first French in my race.
Yeah, which would be good. That's bragging, right? Surely.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. I will have the French flag ready just in case.
And do you have a game plan for the race? Have you got a plan of how you're going to tackle the 25 laps?
So hopefully I will do better than my last track race was a 5,000 meter in Bedford at Berks Athletics, where I start like an idiot, like follow the pack, run over yeah. way faster than me. So we try to avoid this thing, just have like the green light from my coach Tom to take a bit of risk, because I've already smashed my goal this year on 5K to 10K. So I will take a bit of risk, starting a bit quicker than race pace, and try to find some people to work with or run with, and with the support and all the adrenaline. It would probably try to keep up as much as possible.
And you said to me you're the slowest man in the race. Is that true? Have you had a look at the other competitors?
So I've done my own work on a power of 10. I'll probably be the slowest man, but I will try everything I can to not be. But it will be fun to see what happens.
Have you got sort of any guys coming down to watch you race on Saturday?
So yeah, so it'll be all the good gym crew who will be there, and a lot of friends. Because it's my birthday, it will be easier to get some friends in. People who never watch running race, so it'll be, they will have a good experience.
And you're probably the only runner from a traditional running club, so you're part of the Good Gym. Can you give us some background on what Good Gym is all about?
Yeah, of course. So Good Gym is a group of runners who try to get fit by doing good. We don't go to the track every Tuesday, Thursday, but we run to help. Like a good sentence is, to describe that is from the founder, Ivo Gormley. We say, why lift weight in a gym that don't need to be lifted when there is a lot of organization or charity that need to lift some box, for example. We also, Good Gym, try to fight against loneliness. So hundreds of Good Gym runners run to visit an isolated older person every week for a friendly chat. So it's a good motivation for both of them, both the older person and the runner. Yeah, you can have a look at www.goodgym.org.
Perfect. And you guys are obviously getting bigger. So yeah, I've seen you do kind of a lot of other races, mainly kind of road races. And will there be a big crowd sort of helping out, volunteering on the day?
Yeah, there will be a few. I think it's around 10, 15 Good Gym runners who will help on the track on Saturday, which will be nice. We will be able to spot them with their Good Gym hat.
Excellent. And you've like made a sort of massive strides over the last 6 months. You're going to be running around sort of 40 minutes for 10K up until recently, but you made a big jump. You said your PB at the moment is 36 minutes. You're looking to go faster than that.
Yeah.
I've also seen sort of running sort of low 17 minutes for 5K. So you're becoming quite a competitive runner. How have you made that step? What do you put this big improvement down to?
So yeah, 2015 have been amazing so far, getting PB from 5K, 10K, 10 mile, half marathon, winning my first race. It was not a big field, but still a victory.
The win, Axel.
Yeah. First thing, I've stopped to try to self-coach myself. It didn't work. I was getting too much injured all the time. So I've started to work with Tom Quaggs, who will be the commentator on this Saturday. So hopefully he will give me some direct and live advice. So yeah, I gradually increased my mileage to a level I've never run before, but really slowly with a structured plan every week, which makes a massive difference because at least I don't do something wrong. And there is also this group I was talking earlier. First time I went there, I also did my research and looked at Power of 10, and I knew they were all faster than me. So I was almost as stressed as before race. And it was really fun and a good experience to really push myself. My motivation has increased. Getting faster, also, like, you want to get faster again. So it's basically that, having Tom helping me and a lot of better runners than me trying to catch.
And then what's your plans after the 10K? Have you got any more races scheduled in this summer?
So with Good Gym, we are going to race some horse. There is a man versus horse race in Wales. So this will be fun. Just a funny one. And then planning to do Cardiff half marathon. Hopefully trying to get the championship for London next year.
Obviously, you made this big jump and sort of now this 75 minutes is possible. How do you think you're going to make this next step up?
So you know me quite well. I have a slight issue with nutrition. My nutrition is really poor, no fruit, no vegetable. It's full carb and meat. So I will try to really improve on that, which should be a big step for me. Also, core exercise and strengthening and conditioning. So hopefully if I do these two things, it will already make a massive difference. And still trying to train with even better runner to try to catch them. And,
pull you on.
Yeah.
What does a normal training week look like? How many miles a week do you know you're running at the moment?
At the moment, I'm around 80K a week. So basically, easy run on Monday, threshold session with a guy in Victoria Park on Tuesday, bit more steady run on the Wednesday, intervals on Thursday, park run or hill session on Saturday, and a long run on Sunday. So it's a lot more structured than I used to do before, which is like running 40 minutes fast as much as I can, getting injured, wait for another week. Before I start with Tom, I had 8 months without running almost, having some easy run where I used to I didn't do an easy run, so I was always tired, always hard to get back to running after a tough day. And now I've never run that much in my life, and I'm almost without injury.
Fantastic. Well, it's very exciting, Ax. I reckon you're going to run a PB comfortably on Saturday.
I hope so, if the weather is better. And
yeah. How does it feel to be part of an event like this? Does it inspire you?
I feel really lucky, especially coming from the reserve list. I was running 1 week ago, and surrounded by amazing athletes. Like, you can only get better, it's what I said earlier. If I have someone next to me who is better, it's to do my best. So it's really exciting and it's a privilege. Like, I'm really lucky for it.
Nice one. Fantastic, Axel. Well, good luck.
Thank you, Sean.
How did you get into running originally?
Did a race when I was at school, when I was just gone up to secondary school. So I think it was in year 7 or year 8. And I ended up winning it. And my school put me forward to do the Scottish Schools. And then I surprised myself and came second there. And then I ended up joining City of Glasgow, AC. And it all kind of kicked off from there. But I did originally come from a swimming background. So I used to compete at national level. So I did about 8 sessions a week with them. And then just slowly, as I was getting older, climbing up to 15, I was just up to doing 2 track sessions a week. And it was really when I got to uni that it all kind of kicked off and stuff. And I ended up doing more running and much less swimming.
Do you still swim now at all?
I did actually. So it was in my program to do it once or twice a week. I haven't been recently because I've just been focusing on running, and obviously I've been away at altitude. But I do enjoy getting back in the pool and swimming with some of my friends back home.
And you're not tempted by a move to sort of duathlons or triathlons later in the day?
I don't know. It's always kind of been there in the background, but I'm gonna wait and see how this season goes. And I'm actually really enjoying running at the moment, and I just want to see where I can go with it.
Cool. And then you sort of had a lot of success initially on the track, but you've also won a number of cross-country titles. What sort of athlete do you see yourself as? Do you see yourself as a track runner who dabbles at cross-country, or do you not really think of it in that way?
No, I definitely think I belong on the track, but I do enjoy cross-country. I used to really, really love it when I was younger, and then I think I went through a couple of years where I just didn't find it enjoyable running around a muddy field. But this year, actually, the last three cross-country races I did, I think the only three I did this year, I loved all of them. I don't know, maybe I'm getting back into cross-country again.
Did you win all three?
I didn't, actually. No, I won the Scottish National. I finished top 12, I think, in Edinburgh, and then I was just outside the team position at Liverpool. So it was a fairly solid winter for me. And
yeah, not bad for three races.
Yeah.
You're coached now by Mick Wood down at St Mary's, and he's always been interested in cross-country. Might be something to do with sort of mixed training?
I certainly think doing a lot of work on the grass and lots of tempo type rep work does set you up for a good summer on the track. I actually didn't want to do cross country after 2014, and I didn't do it, and I think I massively regretted that, because my track wasn't as good that year. So I've been persuaded back on the cross country this year, and it's definitely paid off.
And who else is based down with you at St Mary's? Do you have a good training group down there?
Yeah, I've got a great training group. I train with a lot of the uni boys if I train at St Mary's, because Mick is the coach here at St Mary's. And then there's a great group down in Aldershot as well. So I've got my training partner, Steph Twell. I do a lot of sessions with her, and also Louise Small.
Is it only sessions you do with those guys, or do you run a lot of your longer runs with them as well?
No, I tend to, I go down to Aldershot twice a week for both my sessions, and then I do one session up here at St Mary's with Mick, either one-on-one or with a group of boys who are studying at the university. And then I usually, because I've got work and stuff, I find it easier just to fit my runs around work, so I'm usually up at 6 in the morning running before work and then after the work.
Cool, and yet you're training specifically for 10,000 metres on the track at the moment, or are you looking for 10 and 5,000?
Yeah, no, I've been doing a lot of 10K work, and I was doing a lot of 10K work when I was out in Flagstaff. But I think we're just coming down a little bit at the moment and just trying to sharpen up, because all the work's done in the 10, and I've had like a solid winter of training, so it'd be nice to get some quicker times in the track over shorter distances.
And what would a typical week look like for the 10,000 metre work?
I never really count my mileage, but probably in somewhere between 70 and 80 miles a week, with one longer run on the Saturday. I usually do it on Saturday, and then three sessions, one being more long reps and tempo, and the other two being shorter or on the track. So yeah.
And what would that sort of tempo session look like usually?
It could be anywhere between 30 to 35 minutes worth of work. Usually I start off doing, I don't know, a longer tempo on the front end, and then a kind of pyramid session down in reps on the grass. But it's always different, just like to keep it varied, and yeah, varied.
And you've just come back from altitude training in Flagstaff, did you say?
Yeah, it was great. I was out in Flagstaff with the British Athletics team, and there's a lot of long-distance folk out there, and it was great because there was loads of Canadians and Americans, and it was nice to meet lots of other runners from around the world.
I bet there's a lot of Scottish guys out there.
Yeah, there were. There was, we actually had a house, and there were four Scots, so it was a good laugh. And obviously, loads of Scottish athletes running really, really well at the moment, so it's a good thing for Scotland.
Do you have sort of any ideas why it's you're having such a resurgence in Scotland?
I'm not sure. A lot of the guys who are making teams at the moment and are running really fast times, I actually went to the Commonwealth Youth Games with them back in 2008. So there's a group of us, like Ailish and Lindsay and Chris O'Hare, who all went to Pune in India back in 2008, and we're still on the scene, so it's really good for Scotland. And I don't know, I think maybe just, for me, I think it's just perseverance and just, you know, trying to stay injury-free. And We do get help from Scottish Athletics as well in terms of physio and medical. And yeah, I think it's been, like with having Glasgow just 2 years ago, you know, people are still on a high from Glasgow, and I don't know, a number of reasons, but I don't think I can put my finger on one of them.
No.
Just like you get inspired by other people who you used to run and compete against. And I don't know, I think there's an element of that as well.
And while you were out at, in Flagstaff, you raced the Stanford, and you ran the Olympic qualifier there.
Yeah, so I flew out for 5 days before the race, and I raced at the Stanford and in the 10K and got the Olympic qualifying time, which was I was over the moon with. I was just really setting my camp up out in Flagstaff, so I had a really good block of training out there. And then it was nice to, you know, finish with a 5K back at the Peyton Jordan meet in Stanford again. Even though I didn't feel great in the race, and I think that was just due to having done, you know, maybe a bit too much 10K work and not really focusing on the 5, but I was still happy to come away with an 8-second PB and a European qualifying time. So I know there's a lot more in the tank, and hopefully if I get in the right race with the right people and the right atmosphere, you know, the time will just come.
And they're two kind of iconic races, those two, out there in America. And obviously, you've run the last, was it 2 years ago you ran the Highgate race? And yeah. How do they compare?
I love Stanford, not so much 2 years ago because I just missed the Commonwealth qualifying time by 8 milliseconds or something. So it was a bit agony. But this year it was just awesome. Just I can't even like put a finger on it. I actually cried after I crossed the line because I was just so overcome with, just couldn't believe it. Find like all those early mornings and all those late nights at training had paid off. But Highgate's a great event. It's really really fun, and everyone's in lane three cheering you on. And it kind of reminded me a bit of when I raced at Mount Sac 2 years ago, because same sort of atmosphere, like everyone's there and really close to the runners, and it's just a like great atmosphere, and it just helps to run in quick times.
Because obviously you've had experience of an incredible atmosphere, the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
Is it last year or year before?
2014, yeah, 2 years ago. It's gone really fast.
And how did it feel walking out on the track there, kind of with the home fans behind you?
Oh, I can't even describe it. It was amazing. I remember when they were going across the lineup. I was actually out in lane, like the furthest away lane, and I was the last runner to be introduced. And they went through all the English runners and all the Welsh runners. And I was thinking, that's really loud. Oh God, like, what's it going to be like? And then it came to me, and it was deafening. I could not even hear myself think. And I also remember when I hit the front, I think it was about 6K, the noise from the crowd, it felt like they were lifting you. It was mental. And the only thing I've really come close to that again was when I did the London Anniversary Games last summer. And just, like, being in the Olympic Stadium, it was just really, really cool, and everyone was there like cheering for, you know, British athletes, and it was the kind of the closest thing to a home games for me, I think. So.
And obviously your goal is Rio.
Yeah.
This is Europeans coming before that. It depends on which you qualify for, but are you keen to also give the Europeans a go?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I'm not sure what the how they're going to select the team or anything, but 10K is my number one event, and it maybe would be quite nice to get another qualifier for the 5K and see what happens. But yeah, the main aim is to go to Rio, but we'll have to see how Saturday goes.
And it's just, you just require top two.
Yeah, I think there's three places available. I think to guarantee selection on the weekend, I'll have to finish top two in the race. And I think third is discretionary, but I'm not too sure on that at the moment.
And sort of post Rio, I guess you've got enough time to try and think about the next games in Tokyo. Do you have any thoughts of moving up to the marathon potentially for as you get older?
That's the first time I've ever been asked that. Actually, I don't know. I've always said I would never do a marathon, but I'm not sure. I'm actually really enjoying the 10K at the moment. I think I want to stay on the track for as long as possible. But yeah, who knows?
Play it by ear. You obviously got a few days left to the race. Are you kind of doing anything special now? You've eased down.
Finished work tonight, so I've got a massage booked, and then tomorrow I'm just having a very chill day, just meeting up with some friends for lunch, and then yeah, just meeting some work friends after work. So nothing, just keeping things as normal as possible.
Perfect. Good stuff. Excellent. Nice one.
Thanks very much.
Cool. And good luck for Saturday.
Thank you, yeah, thanks.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. It's time to take an adventure with rugged capability and commanding style. Check out the Honda Ridgeline, Pilot, Passport, or CRV. For a limited time, well-qualified buyers can get a 1.99% APR on a 2025 Ridgeline or a 3.99% APR on a 2025 Pilot, 2026 Passport, or 2025 CRV.
See dealer for financing details.